I want to be a master. 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 This is Dr. Herbert O. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with Thought for Today. I want to be a master. 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 Now, have you ever lived in a neighborhood where there were children? Yes, we all have, haven't we? Okay, now as you're growing up in this neighborhood with children, and you're one of them, have you ever noticed that there are a few children who are, and most of the children want to be? Have you ever noticed that? There are a few children who are, and most of the children want to be. I want to be a master. I want to be a master. And you see, the masters, the children who really are the ones who set the pace for the rest of the community, they just do it. They don't talk about it. They just walk around and everybody bends to their decision. Everyone bows to their choice. Everyone follows whatever they have as their criteria, you know? Now, we've read stories about famous people and stories about children who, like Kung Fu, he stood outside of the monastery where he wanted to go because he wanted to be a monk. And he wanted to be a monk because his father had told him that that's a good profession to be in, you know. And so he stood out there and he dedicated himself to standing out there. And he stood out there in the rain and he stood out there in the sun. He stood out there and waited until he might be called. Well, there were four or five other young people there too, his same age, and they stood and waited. But he stood and said, I am a monk. I am a monk. I am a monk. That's what he said. Now, he didn't say it a lot of times, like I'm saying it. He said it once. And we know that he said it. Because when he left his father, he said to his father, I am a monk. And he went off to be the monk that he was. Now, the other four or five kids who were waiting to be monks too, were sitting out there, and they had to amuse themselves. They didn't have that inner perspective of who they were. They didn't even know what a monk was. All they know is that the monks are well fed, and the monks are given plenty of rest, and the monks are given things to do that are not too difficult, and the monks have school time, but so what? You have to have school time wherever you were. So these other children, what were they doing while they were waiting?
They were playing games.
Yeah, what were these other children doing while they were waiting? You're right, they're playing games. They were out there playing marbles and playing whatever games the children play who had whatever they had as toys, you know. And the young Kung Fu, he looked on and he didn't play the games. He just watched. But he didn't even watch. He was listening within himself. And then he was invited to go in with one of the other young men. And when he was invited to go in, the master invited him to sit at tea with him. And so they sat at tea with him. And they brought tea and cookies and tried to entice them. And the other boy, when he was told, go ahead and eat, he went ahead and ate. And he ate the cookies and he drank the tea, and Kung Fu didn't. He sat there and he waited. And the master said, why are you waiting? Why are you not eating? And he says, sir, I cannot eat before my master eats. And the other boy was dismissed and Kung Fu was kept. You see, when you're going for who you are, you have to really know who you are if you're even going to get near where you're going. The other children wanted to be the pleasantries that a monk has, and many of them have gotten in, and many monks in many monasteries are just there for the pleasantry of it. just they're running away from something. They're running away from a bad family, a bad wife, a bad marriage, a bad this or that, you know, and they're just running away. And they want someone to take care of them. They want a papa or a mama or whatever, you know, around. And this happens so often in life. Now, what do you want to do? What do you want to do? Are you a master? I am a master. Or I will be a master. Or I want to be a master. Or I will be a master. What did we say when we started out?
I am a master.
Huh?
I am a master.
I am a master. Now, I am whole and perfect, but I don't look that way. I am wealthy, but I haven't got any money. You see, this is what we do. We look at the appearances and we say that's reality. Out there, the fog is so thick you can't even see your way a couple of feet. Out there, a fog is so thick you cannot go anywhere. And so, little Jason walks in. He's got his day sucker in his mouth and he's walking into there and they say, "You can't go outside, the fog is too thick." And Jason says, "I'm going to go out and play, and the sun is shining today." And so he walks out the door, and shazam, the sun comes out and illumines everything. Nobody heard Jason say this, even though he said it very loud for everyone could hear if they wanted to. But nobody heard him. Why did the sun shine if nobody heard him? Because Jason is the master of his universe, his world, of every happening. So Jason, with this face sucker in his mouth, you know, 3-4 years old, he said, "I'm going to go out and play. The sun shines for me today." And so he goes out the door. "Hi, son. You're my friend, aren't you? You came right on down through these clouds. Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy." And what happens? From that day on, throughout his entire life, whenever he speaks his word, what happens? It is done. Jason says, "I'm independently wealthy." And it's done. He says, "I'm whole and perfect." And it's done. He says, I have the most wonderful family in the world." And it's done. But you see, Jason doesn't talk like that. What is Jason saying? "I am that I am." Jason says, "I'm a master." And how does a master think? How does a master act? How does a master conduct himself? What does a master do with his life? You see? What does a master do? Why does a woman married to a drunken man get a divorce and then go and marry another drunken man? That she wants it. That's who she is. She is the mother of a drunken man, called a husband, but she is the mama for him, you see? Now, why is it we have poverty? Because we are the mother to our poverty. We entertain it constantly in our thoughts. We entertain it in our thinking. Now, have you ever been at home? Well, Anita was telling me that when she was in New Zealand, she visited many different friends. And some of their homes were just so spick and span, you hated to walk in and bring a speck of dust in, you know. And it wasn't a friendly home, although the people were perfectly nice, but that was their way. And then she went into other homes where baby diaper smell was around and other smells were around, and it was what you would call an unsanitary home. But the people were the most wonderful people in the world. You just felt you were invited, and you sat down with their family as you belonged with them, even though you're not used to having things in disarray and not cared for like it was there. But she felt at home. She felt that she belonged with this family, you see? Now, is she the master? Yeah. Wherever she goes, she feels great. She goes into a home where some people are having problems, and what does she do? She brings her smile in there. She brings Ernie in. And Ernie comes walking in there, and she says, I want you to meet my friend Ernie. And they say, who's Ernie? Where's Ernie? Oh, it's right here. So she sets Ernie up on the table, which is her little doll. And Ernie says, well, folks, how are you today? And they say, fine, Ernie. And right away, every iceberg is broken. Right away, every problem is cast away. And Ernie says, you know, when I walked in this door, I thought I was coming into paradise. And I was wrong. Look what I see all around me. Oh, my God, look what I see. It's heaven. And I didn't realize. I thought it was only going to be paradise. Now, what happens to the people? She's able to get her idea across through Ernie, or through Bobby, whatever she has with her. Or maybe she has some new friend. Maybe she has some new being that she creates who far outshine Ernie and Bobby. Maybe a little more class to them. Why do you think Charlie McCarthy wore a tuxedo? You know what a tuxedo is? You know what a tuxedo is? You know what a tuxedo is. Well, why did Charlie, and you know who Charlie McCarthy is? Charlie McCarthy was a very popular, the puppet of Edgar Bergen, who was a ventriloquist. And Edgar Bergen spoke through Charlie McCarthy. And Charlie McCarthy has other friends too. But Charlie McCarthy always represented class. But he represented snooty class. You might say snotty class. But everybody loved him. Because no matter what happened, if he didn't behave, Edgar Bergen would turn to him when Charlie wasn't behaving. He'd say, Charlie, is that a way for a gentleman to act? You know, and Charlie says, well, I should know, but you wouldn't, you know, and being real caustic and so on. But you see, the image, the Charlie McCarthy show was a popular show for years and years and years. And there were several other ventriloquists around, but none of them reached the scope because Edgar Bergen was a man of quality. He was the voice of Charlie McCarthy. He was the vision behind Charlie McCarthy. And Edgar Bergen became a very wealthy man and a very happy man. But he spoke through Charlie McCarthy. And Edgar Bergen went into a number of businesses and did very well. But the point is, if you can release from within you who you are, if it takes a puppet to do that, that's interesting. And a lot of times the clowns have hand puppets, you know, make them dance and sing and talk and stuff like that. We have hand puppets here. We should bring some out. Bring some up tomorrow or at lunch. My favorites. They're underneath your cabinet of dishes there in the dining room. Okay. On the bottom right-hand doors, there's two of them. Mm-hmm. Who are they? I think Mr. Hippo is there, and I think Mr. Chipmunk is there.
Yeah.
So they're fun. So, you see, you can do these things now. I want to be a master. I am a master. What do you do? You see, Mother was not very wise or nice to us children. She always said, sticks and stones can hurt your bones, but names can never hurt you. If people call you names, they can never hurt you. Now, what she was meaning was that if people called you naughty names, you didn't respond to them. But instead of that, Mother should have said something like this. Sticks and stones can hurt your bones, but names are what people see in you. So, what kind of a name does somebody see in you? Does somebody see you as a healthy person? Da-da-da-da-da-da! Somebody see you as a wealthy person? You know, spend, 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 spend. Does somebody see you as a happy person? Now, you see, you will not have names hurled at you, thrown at you, unless they are reflecting what the other person's image is of you, and you're reflecting back that image. If you believe in yourself you will reflect the image of yourself regardless of what's going on in the world. You can walk into a war-torn area. You can walk into a hospital ward. You can walk anywhere. And there can be conditions there that theoretically you don't have control over. And because of who you are, now I just ask you this stupid question, and I know you're going to have an intelligent answer. When Jesus walked in and saw people who were sick, and he said to them, pick up your bed and walk, was he looking at them in the appearance that they were?
No.
He was saying, look, don't clutter up this room with your bed. Get it out of here. Take it home. You know? Pick up your bed and walk. And he said to the man with the withered hand, he said, sure, it's Sunday. But if your cow fell into the ditch, you'd pull him out on Sunday or any day. You wouldn't leave the cow suffering down there. So if anyone had a healing need, you'd do it whenever it needed. And so he said to the man, stretch forth your hand. And he stretched forth his withered hand, and it was whole and perfect. Now, what did Jesus see? He saw the whole and perfect hand. Now, what do you see? Do you see yourself as wealthy, healthy, happy, hearty, in every way the ideal expressed? Are you your original purity and integrity? I am a master. Are you a master? You can be a master of dirt, or you can be a master of cleanliness, whatever you want to be. You can be a master of goodness or sadness. Master doesn't name anything and call it good or bad. And Jesus himself said, don't call anything good, for it's just a name. All is. So, are you a master? Well, I think you are. Well, no, I don't. I don't think. Thanks a lot. I don't think you're a master at all. Now you can say something.
I am a master.
I don't think you're a master. I know you're a master. I don't care what you think. I know you're a master.
I know.
And you can't pretend that you're not a master in my presence, because I know you're a master. And I know you're good. And I know you're rich. And I know you're healthy. And I know you're wealthy. And I know you're happy in every way. You understand? I know it. You can't pull that on me that you don't know that the coffee made is for the coffee and not for your cereal. Shame on you. Shame on you. What girl was that we had? Yes, it was Brian's, Gregor's daughter.
Daily.
Yeah, Daily. She sat there taking the milk and just pouring it into her mouth, you know. And, oh, that's so good. And that's not what that's for. It's not a matter that is too expensive. It's just a principle. The principle, the principle, the principle. Thank you, Rex. If we don't live the principle, we shouldn't be living. And the principle is what?
Whatever I believe about myself, what I know about myself, what I am.
You keep getting better and better and better. when she ages in a mellow way, doesn't she? Yeah, she's just terrific. So, remember that now. Okay?
Yes.
Okay. Rex? Hey, you going to remember that too? Yes, we'll just put your leash on so you don't have any confusion. But remember that. Am I responsible for Rex?
Yes.
He's my dog. So, if Rex doesn't want to follow my direction because he has learned to follow my direction, then what must I do? I must put a leash on him and make sure that he follows my direction. Because if I let him go astray, it's my fault. If he gets run over by a car, that's my fault. If he eats tidbits that are not good for him, that's my fault. Because I am his master. He's not here as my master or anybody else's master. I am his master. Mm-hmm. And he is here to do my bidding and make me happy. And if I don't take care of him, I'm not a worthy shepherd, am I? Mm-hmm. So, that's what is up for all of us. We must all be worthy shepherds. First with our thought, our actions, and our deeds. And when we do that, then we can say, I am
a master.
So, Susama, Wiederholen.
I am a master.
I am a master. Once more.
I am a master.
Amen. I love you. I love you. I love you.
Thank you.